My message today is entitled, Let Justice Roll. And I'd actually like to begin with a couple of quotes from Thich Nhat Hanh. The first one goes like this. Freedom is not given to us by anyone. We have to cultivate it ourselves. It is a daily practice. No one can prevent you from being aware of each step you take or each breath in and breath out. And the second quote from him is this. Our own life has to be our message. Our own life has to be our message. So, what is the message of our lives? Both individually and as a church, as a spiritual community, do our lives cultivate freedom not only for ourselves, but for others as well? What is the message of our lives? Yeah, in times like these, in times where the majority of Americans are experiencing increasingly difficult times, times of division and lives lost, times of struggle and even hopelessness, what is the message of our lives and our communities? Now, frankly, I am a bit ashamed of the church, not our church, little c, but the church as a whole with a big C. And don't get me wrong. Plenty of churches and other spiritual communities do lots and lots of brilliant things. Frankly, if it were not for the missional efforts of the church, I hate to even think of how far some people would have slipped. As an example, the church where I last served was a small church, but we managed to feed a few hundred people a month. And we're talking about people who had slipped through the cracks of charity and probably had very few food options available to them. Feeding them, well, that is a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. But still, I'm a bit ashamed of the church with a capital C. And like I said, don't get me wrong. Plenty of churches and other spiritual communities do lots and lots of brilliant things. As a matter of fact, historians note that in the course of human history, organized charitable giving didn't occur until the 4th century and was directly connected to church, Christian church charity. And then in the medieval period, Christianity began hospitals that instead of being like the Greek ones that were founded on basically a reciprocal hospitality, or the Romans ones, which were based on family obligations. These Christian ones, well, they were founded to cater to social groups that were marginalized by poverty, sickness, and age. They got our modern hospitals. And even during the Industrial Revolution, the church, the Catholic Church to be specific, helped improve regulations for working conditions. And later it began working on improving the social and economic conditions of society. And then in the U.S., the progressive end of the Christian church has always been on the forefront of publicly advocating for issues of social justice and equality. So, while the progressive arm has been doing those kinds of things, well, unfortunately, as a whole, we've become a lot less than we were meant to be as a spiritual community. We are more than aware of what we should be doing. And again, as Ralph pointed out earlier, I use we here as the larger C church. We are more than aware of what we should be doing. And in people like Martin Luther King and Gandhi to spiritual communities focused on helping those in need, we've been given examples of what that looks like, and then we, the capital C church, proceed to do what we want to do. Take the easy way out and to choose paths that allow us to feel good about ourselves for doing something, but never actually doing anything that has a lasting impact, at least the majority of the capital C church has. We feed a person for a day. We turn their power back on for now. We give them shelter for a night. And that's a good thing. But in general, we fall miserably short of challenging and changing the systems that will have those same people starving in a week, sitting in the dark next month, and sleeping in the streets all too soon. We are more than aware of what we should be doing. We've been given examples of what we should look like, but we busy ourselves with the goings on of running a spiritual community, placing an overemphasis on what the community can do for me rather than on what I can do for the community and the larger community that it sits in. And when we do, again, we, the capital C church, we miss out on the spiritual fullness and satisfaction that's waiting for us in the communities that we serve. All too often, we let our silent good deeds be the end of our efforts to help, dooming those who are suffering to continue suffering under the oppressive and cyclical nature of systems designed to keep the least of these in their place. You see, most spiritual communities have become much better and much more comfortable at giving people a hand out than giving people a hand up. Put simply, most churches prefer the self-serving feelings of charity to the self-sacrificing realities of justice. You know, charity does, it does indeed help those in need, but only temporarily. Who it really helps is those of us who have a need to help, who feel it's our calling to aid those in need. Charity lets us feel like we are doing something to respond to need in a world that is overwhelmed with people in need. And there's really, honestly, there's no risk in it, and people are usually actually very supportive of such efforts. That's charity. Justice, on the other hand, is hard. It frequently requires a great deal of sacrifice, and you probably aren't going to get a whole lot of people cheering you along the way. Probably quite the opposite most of the time. So most spiritual communities simply don't do it. Justice looks like the words of love put into action. Justice looks like activism. Spiritual communities tend to shy away from that. Justice requires you to not only not make nice with abusive systems, to rock the boat a bit, and to take a stand on issues that are frequently considered political hot buttons. To too many churches, that sounds very, well, unchurch-like. To many churchgoers, thinking of being church means being liked. And being that standing up against something we don't think is correct, we don't like the thought of how people might see us for that. The idea that people might not like us because of it. So, the systems and power structures that have a negative impact and effect on the marginalized minorities and the poor, well, why risk having our friends think that we're being too political or have them think that we aren't nice and polite and a docile reflection of Jesus? Why? Well, because Jesus was not always nice and docile. At least not in the way that people have come to think of him. He not only confronted systems of injustice, but he tried to teach us to do the exact same thing. Jesus stood in public squares, not only proclaiming that leper lives matter, that poor lives matter, that lives of other religions matter, that Gentile lives matter, that women's lives matter, but he also took every opportunity to confront those who were in control of the systems and power structures that kept outsiders on the outside. And he did it. He did it in the tradition of the great prophets of Judaism who never failed to stand up against abuse and power. They risked everything. They frequently were run out of town or put to death for it. And in our modern times, we also have examples like Dr. King, who also lost his life for it. Maybe that's what we're afraid of? The proverbial crosses we'd have to bear? I'm not really sure. I certainly don't think it's because we'd rather see the least of these carry the overwhelming burdens of a society structured to benefit the wealthy than to be thought of as anything less than nice. Maybe we just haven't thought it through enough. Maybe we just need new leaders to stand up and say, philanthropy is commendable, but it must not cause the philanthropist to overlook the circumstances of economic injustice which makes philanthropy necessary. And to say it with the passion and prophetic voice that Dr. King once did. Then again, maybe we are the new leaders. It is time for us to reclaim the place of prophetic voice in the midst of our struggling society. As the wealthiest of folks, through their voice and influence of the almighty dollar, step on and abuse the poorest in our nation by co-opting our government, which is supposedly for, of, and by the people. As they co-opt our government, we must reclaim our prophetic voice. Now, I could stand here and list off multiple ways of doing this. Things like writing letters to Congress people, attending rallies that confront corrupted systems, and all kinds of other ways to nonviolently advocate for change to abusive and repressive systems. But frankly, a decent Google search will do the exact same thing for you. It will not only be much more interesting to see what kinds of new ideas we come up with as individuals and as a spiritual community, but the new ideas will be much more likely to impact real change to those kinds of abusive and repressive systems. We must not, hear me clearly, we must not stop doing the necessary and much needed work of charity. But we must not stop there. We must push on, risking ourselves, risking ridicule, risking our places of privilege, and reclaim the biblical and prophetic voice of justice. We must stand in the footsteps of the likes of Dr. King, Dorothea Day, and Gandhi. For without justice, charity falls short. Without justice, charity falls short. They are a matched set. What is the message of our lives? It's time to let justice